to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Yesterday, we concluded part one of our study on how to increase your self-control. We've done seven podcasts just on understanding the nature of temptation and how it works on your desires. Now that we've laid that foundation, we're ready to move to part two in this study, which is on how to get power from God to overcome the impulses of the flesh. This is where it really gets helpful. We'll begin that in tomorrow's podcast. For today, I just want to address some questions that came up from part one. And the first question that came up was, when we suffer painful consequences for sin and yet never seem to learn, why is that? Why is it you can have a sin devastating your life and it's not enough to get you undeceived? So you fall into a sin, you feel really guilty, you feel really bad, and that happens again and again. You would think eventually that'd be enough to just get me out of this sin. There's a number of reasons why it's sometimes not enough. One is, you can feel really bad about a failure sometimes just because it was a failure. Not so much because it was an assault on the glory of God, but just because I failed and it's causing trouble in my life. And the reason that's not enough is because if that were enough, if God let that be enough, then what glory would he get when I have victory? If I just touch something and it stings and I say, wow, I'm never going to touch that again. And so now I have total victory over sin. How does that glorify God? What really glorifies God is if that sin, if I touch that sin, it feels really good, but then God gives me something better. And I'm just like, I think I'd rather have this. That glorifies God, right? And that's how he wants us to overcome sin. Yeah. I'll expound on that a lot more next time. But the question is, could I expound on the role of the Spirit? The role of the Spirit is, what's the sword of the Spirit? The Word, right? So here's the sword of the Spirit right here. We subject ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit by wielding the sword. And that comes through trusting, not just saying it, but believing it, trusting it. The more you believe what he said in here, what the Holy Spirit says in here, the more that will defeat the deception. And so the biggest way to subject yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit is by wielding the sword of the Spirit and trusting it. Right. So they deceive themselves by saying, I'm going to go ahead with this sin because I know God will forgive me. I'll go ahead and I'll repent like I always do, and he'll forgive me like he always does. My conclusion to my sermon, I deleted because it was about 30 minutes. But what I was going to do, and maybe we'll do it next time, I was going to walk through the life of Joseph, or the Joseph in Genesis 39 and the temptation of Joseph, and then David in 2 Samuel 11 with Bathsheba. And it just really graphically shows the path towards life and the path towards death. And see, what happened with David was he didn't take that death path all the way down to death, did he? He repented and he was forgiven. But you look at the results in his life. And there were a lot of symptoms of death that came into his life for the rest of his life. And it was misery. I mean, his baby died. Then his son raped his daughter. And then his other son murdered another son. And then that son took power. And then he got killed. And I mean, just bloodshed and horror. And so the thing to undeceive ourselves when we're thinking, oh, I'll just repent later. One of the greatest verses for undeceiving yourself with that is in Galatians, where he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. One who sows to the flesh from his flesh will reap destruction. One who sows the Spirit from the Spirit will reap life. You're going to reap what you sow, and you're going to reap a lot more than what you sow. You know, you sow a seed, you reap 100-fold. So that's great when it comes to righteousness. You sow a little bit of righteousness, you get a great bunch of life. You sow a little bit of sin, you reap a lot of death. And so even after you're forgiven, you're still reaping. Okay. So you get somebody who's killing himself. They're drinking themselves to death. They hate this. They can see the devastation of it. They know it's leading to death. And yet they know more than anybody how devastating that sin is. And yet it's not enough at the moment of temptation to persuade them. Why? The answer is that's a key step, but it's not the only step. And there has to be, like I said, this first question, there has to be some better pleasure that you prefer over that sin. If you just say, no, 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 it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. The fact is, there is that pleasure it offers, and just saying no isn't going to be enough. The two banquets in the beginning of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, and they're both saying, come and eat. And the only way to not end up sitting down at the table of Lady Folly is to feast at the banquet of wisdom. And so there has to be a greater pleasure. There has to be a greater, something bigger, better, something I can say to myself, this will satisfy. It takes both components. I need the negative side to push me, but I also need the positive side to pull me. Only both of those will be enough to get me out of that mud. So we don't want to just only talk about the positive side, because Scripture says it gives a lot of warnings about sin. So we do talk about that negative side, but we don't want to only talk about that. That's why I wanted to take the positive side and spend a whole sermon on it next time, because that's where, without that, there's just no hope. There's no deliverance from sin. You've got to have something pulling you that's attractive to you, that your soul really does believe, yes, this will satisfy me. Absolutely, absolutely. Pleasures, experiences of pleasures are what the biggest thing that persuade your soul one way or the other. And that goes back to something Joyce was saying. The person that says, I'm just going to commit this sin and then I'll repent. Here's a huge problem. By committing the sin, you just trained your soul to be more deceived into thinking this sin is the source of life and good days. And yeah, maybe you'll repent, but it's that much harder to undeceive that soul because it's that much more convinced because it tried it and it felt good. But on the other side, when you have wonderful experiences of God, the presence of God, and you attribute that to the presence of God, that will train your soul to crave that more. And you can actually get to the point where you run across some really enticing, alluring sin that you would have always, every other time, you've always fallen to that, and you run across, but this time it's like, no, that this nearness to God I've been enjoying the last few days, I don't want to jeopardize it. I don't want to let go of it. I love it. It's sweet to me. I commit that sin. It might be several hours a day, to a week even, where now I'm feeling distant from God. I don't want that. I can't stand the thought of that. And you crave that nearness to God so much that that's what gives power to say no to a lesser pleasure. So yeah, for sure. Okay, really good question. What if you haven't experienced that? You're just like, okay, all this stuff you're saying from the pulpit sounds really religious and all, but honestly, I look at pornography and it is pleasure. And I read this and I fall asleep. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm reading. I don't understand it. It's boring. It does nothing for me. What do I do? First of all, first thing you do is don't think that just because you looked at words on a page that you've experienced the presence of God. Right? If you walk away from this not satisfied, it's just because you didn't experience the presence of God. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just it didn't get in you. The answer to the question, the solution, if you've never experienced that, the best answer I can give to that is that whole sermon series, Loving God with All Your Heart. I mean, that's the purpose of that 14 or 15 part series, whatever it was. The purpose is that very thing. This is how I found a way to experience delight and joy and pleasure in the presence of God. I experienced that, and then I wanted to teach others the steps the Lord took me through, and that's what that series is. That's why I keep going back to that Loving God series. The short answer, get some help on how to read your Bible and pray. Just find a saint who is seasoned and who knows how to find the presence of God. Say, show me how. Tell me what to read. I mean, this section in Numbers, it's just not doing it. Can you show me something that would be a little easier for me to understand to start with, you know? Tell me what to read and tell me how to pray. I'll tell you, I'm working on a tool for that, for helping us disciple each other with just the basics of here's how to read your Bible each day. Here's how to pray. Here's how to have fellowship. That's right. Yeah, you have to know, right, what is that point where it turns into sin. And unless your soul is 100% convinced that a certain thing is sin, at the moment of temptation, forget about ever resisting it. If you're borderline, well, maybe it's sin. Maybe it's okay. I'm not sure if it's sin. Well, you'll never have victory. You got to know for sure. Right. Sometimes you're just enjoying a gift from God, and the accuser comes and makes you feel guilty just because you're having pleasure, you know, and it's not even sin. Yeah. So where is the line when a good gift turns into sin? Short answer to that is you can tell by when that thing has gotten up onto the throne in your heart. And the ways to tell that are, first, what are your reactions when somebody gets in the way of that? So I'm enjoying this vacation as a gift from God. I'm enjoying this meal as a gift from God. I'm enjoying this. And then what happens if somebody gets in the way of my enjoyment? Do I get angry or upset or depressed or whatever? Do I go into sin? Well, then that's an indication that thing has gotten up onto the throne in my heart. What is your reaction when you lose it or you don't get it? That's one test. Another test is, where are you looking for your joy? Do you have a sense that I have to have that gift from God in order to have joy? If so, then your joy isn't in God. It's in that thing. So those are the two quick answers. A bigger answer, a much better answer, is that sermon series by Brad Bigney, Gospel Treason. It's a book. You can read the book or you can listen to the sermons. Excellent, excellent group of sermons just on helping uncover those times when a good gift from God has gotten up onto the throne. So, Gospel Treason by Brad Bigney. The sermons are free online. You can just look up Gospel Treason sermons by Brad Bigney.
One thing you can give some further thought to after today's podcast is, how did you do on that twofold test to know, to find out if a desire has arisen to the throne of your heart? How do you react when you lose it or you're unable to get it? And does it feel to you like you have to have it in order to be happy? You can't picture yourself being happy without it. Examine some of the strongest desires in your life and apply that twofold test. Also, I mentioned the Loving God with All Your Heart series in the Q&A. That is available on treasuringgod.com. Just look at the sermons according to series and look under the letter L and you'll find Loving God with All Your Heart. I really believe that's the most important series I've ever taught in my life. It's definitely had the biggest impact on my life, revolutionized my whole spiritual life when I learned those principles. And Jesus himself said there's nothing more important. Loving God is it. That's everything hangs on that. The whole Bible depends on that. So I would urge you, if you haven't listened through that series, if you listen to anything on our website, listen to that. Loving God with All Your Heart. And then there's another resource I mentioned. I said I was working on a resource on how to read your Bible. That is ready now. It's on the website. It is called Encountering God in the Bible. It's just a short three-part series that we did on how to have communion and fellowship with God with your Bible. That's also available in the Sermons by Series section under the Resources tab on treasuringgod.com.
Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast will help you tap into deeper and deeper experiences of the fruit of the Spirit, especially self-control. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspective might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.